In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Good morning, everyone, and welcome. It's another week, or the second week, of the Coptic month of Amshir. And as we said last time, that whole month, the reading of that month, the 4 weeks, are all about the Eucharist, all about the table of the Lord, all about what we talked about last week, the glory, the splendor of the Lord, of the table. Today we'll talk more about what is he offering. What is he offering? But before that, I don't know if it happened to you or not before you noticed this or not, but you know, sometimes, you know, at least where I go to get to fill gas in my car, and then I get out and start the pump, and then you have all those, you know, little commercials that comes out of the screen, and then just a couple days ago, and I start to do this, and the first thing that I heard is, "We know you're hungry. Come inside and buy this." And but like, "I'm not hungry. No, why are you assuming that I am hungry while I'm not hungry? Why are you trying to pressure me? Why are you trying to influence me to go get something to buy and to purchase while I might not need it?" But it clicked, and it kind of gave me that idea that this is where we live, and this is what the society and the culture and everything is trying to tell us, that you are always hungry and you have to get something to be filled. I don't know if you got this experience before or not, but it really stopped me at that point. Like, you know, why are you assuming that I'm hungry and I want to go and buy something? No, I'm not. But it's not only at the gas station. It's not only to go buy food. But this is what the whole world is trying to tell us all the time. You are hungry and try to find something. But the world will never tell us to come to the table, to come to him, but go somewhere else and find somewhere else and find something else. And gets to the point of really the pressure is making us actually losing trust in everything. And looking at the world always seeking power and always pushing us to find that power. The world is always allowing us and getting our eyes to seek a figure to follow, right? Again, whether that figure is just even our own wrong feeling of hunger, but we're always seeking somebody to follow, right? Looking at our younger generation and what is it that is really impacting them and looking up to as a figure, whether in sports or art or music or singing or act or whatever. But the world is always trying to tell us, you know, find somebody, find something to follow. Not knowing that that thing that we are trying to follow is actually going to have power over us and authority over us. And also the world is always keeping in our mind and putting in our mind the idea of there is always a project that you have to accomplish, you have to finish, right? There is always a project. Who of us here now doesn't have a project in his mind? Again, nothing wrong with that, right? But it becomes and gets very dangerous when all what we think of is that project, right? And we say, okay, once I finish with this, I might have time to maybe give some time to the Lord, right? But that never happens, correct? There's always another project, another project, another project. And the whole life becomes a project or series of projects that the Lord is trying to tell us, you know what, that's what it is. That's not what it is. But the world, again, is hitting, you know, again, I know you're hungry. Hungry for power, hungry for figure to follow, and hungry for a project to accomplish. Right? Or am I wrong? Right? And we don't really recognize this because we're so busy and we're so going in maximum speed to try to accomplish this. But at the end of the day, we become more and more frustrated, more and more stressed, more and more dead. Because power, figures, or projects will never give us what we want. And because of that, the beauty of the church readings today, again, the gospel of the feeding the multitude, which is, by the way, as we said before, if The Coptic month has 5 weeks. The gospel of the fifth week also is the gospel of the blessing, right? So the 4 weeks has its own order, and then the fifth week will always bring that gospel. But today it's not the fifth gospel, but it's part of that, again, whole theme of the Coptic month of Amshir, which is, again, the table of the Lord. And we always look at that beautiful icon. Thank God we have that icon here with the Lord bringing the five loaves and the two fish and offering it, as it's a blessing for our lives, right? And God is able to do everything. But actually, the fathers always look at that gospel from the Eucharistic view, that this is when he lifts up his eyes and he blessed and he broke and he gave. That is the Eucharist. That is what we're doing. And we cannot think about it in any other mean. Otherwise, without noticing, we'll be seeking the power, the figure, and the project. But thank God he's not. He's not dead. And that's why, again, the beauty of the church readings today, the Pauline Epistle, Hebrews 7, presents us the Lord as what? Anybody who's paying attention? The what? The high priest. The high priest. Right? This is who he is. The high priest who comes to intercede, to pray, and to offer. And he becomes the priest and the sacrifice at the same time. He's offering himself on the table as the high priest. But again, this understanding is not always there. Or we forget it. Forget it. I was reading something from, just to share this with us, with everybody. You know, the church fathers, especially St. Cyril of Alexandria, talked a lot about this. And one of the things that he talks about is this particular passage. I'm going to read it and just pay attention to it. It says, he invites then the Father's goodness towards us. The Lord, the high priest, invites the Father's goodness to us. For since he is the high priest of souls, in so much as he appeared as man, though being by nature God together with the Father, he most fittingly makes his prayer on our behalf. As a high priest, he makes his prayer on our behalf. And he becomes for us the propitiation for our sins and a righteous advocate, as John says. Therefore, also Paul, wishing us to be of this mind, thus exhorts us, as we read, for we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings or infirmities, but one that has been tempted like we are. The high priest, the one that we can touch, the one we can approach, the one that can become not just a figure, imaginary figure somewhere that I don't know, maybe I see it in an icon and say, wow, that is beautiful. Or no, a high priest that we can touch. And we can literally unite with him through the Eucharist. But one that has been tempted like we are, yet without sin. Then, since he is a high priest, in as much as he is man, and as at the same time brought himself a blameless sacrifice to God the Father as a ransom for the life of all men. And look at this coming passage here. St. Cyril goes, he reconciles to him the reprobate race of man upon the earth, purifying them by his own blood and shaping them to newness of life through the Holy Spirit. And since, as we have often said, all things are accomplished by the Father through the Son in the Spirit, he molds the prayer from the blessings towards us. He molds the prayers from the blessings toward us, as mediator and high priest, though he unites with his Father in giving and providing divine and spiritual graces. And how is this all comes to us? Through the Eucharist. Through the beauty of the Eucharist. That the Lord puts himself in the bread and the wine and said, here you go. Here you go. To renew and to purify. And to change the mind from always looking at power and figure and project into something else. He presents himself as high priest that is not seeking authority. Imagine that. The Lord himself coming to each one of us, but you know what? With all humility, with all emptiness and self-emptiness, you know what? Would you accept me or not? Would you accept me or not? Would you accept me in your house, in your home, in your family, in your relationships, in your work, in your worship, or not? A high priest that does not seek authority. Imagine that. We all, again, are so hungry for authority. And that's why we cannot understand that he doesn't want authority. Because all our relationship with each other is based on that. Who's stronger? But he comes and says that, I'm not asking for authority. I'm humbly asking you to let me in your heart. Would you do this for me or not? But because we are so much under that power and we're always seeking for authority, we want to invite him in our hearts with our own rules, with our own authority. I will tell you when to come and when to leave. I will tell you when I want you and when, you know what, I'm fine on my own. I will tell you when I'm seeking you because of a need, as he told the crowd today, or I'm coming to you because you are the high priest. He comes not seeking authority. He comes not demanding followers. Like, really? I thought he wants followers. He doesn't want followers. What does he want? Lovers, disciples. Right? Remember when he looked back and saw the whole crowd come in and said, like, just go away. I don't want you. Like, you know, any leader, by any definition of leadership, will be so satisfied and so proud and so glad that the people are following me. I said, like, I don't want this. I want a disciple that is able to carry the cross. I want a disciple that is able to come to me and unite with me and be a Christ-like. That's what he wants. He doesn't demand authority. He doesn't demand or wants followers. He wants hearts that can follow him. And finally, he always, always provides sustenance, contentment. He will never leave somebody that comes to him go hungry. Which makes us always actually think and pray and evaluate ourselves. You know, again, how often we've been coming to church, right? Again, the theme of the whole year, the church, the house of the living God, right? The pillar and foundation of truth. How often we'll be coming to church, and are we really content with him or not? Are we satisfied? Our relationship is satisfied? Or back again to the first 3 points, we're always looking for authority, for a figure, and for a project to accomplish. I think it's a good time today, honestly, faithfully, to examine ourselves and see, why aren't we content? If he is the high priest and said, what, I am going to offer you everything, I'm offering myself. I'm allowing you tonight, as St. Cyril says, to unite with the Father through the Christ in the Spirit. Unite with the Father, imagine this. Like, sometimes I talk to people like, we are one with the Father. Like, that's so hard to understand. That's so hard to really believe. But that's what we're doing here. Otherwise, we're just having a show. We don't have a show here. It's a mystery. And it's true. And that's why during the liturgy all the time we'll say what? Amen, amen, amen. It is true, amen. We'll repeat it 100 times. But are we repeating it with our tongue also, or we really have that faith? And if we don't, if we're just repeating with our tongue, this is the time to pray and ask and say, what, Lord, really, I really don't really believe that. That I'm one with you. The beautiful gospel of Matins today. Anybody remember? The first verse of Gospel of Matins this morning, those of you who come early, and I hope everybody comes early. For God, John 3:17, after 3:16, the famous one, John 3:17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But we always have that fear, we have that guilt, have that understanding that we are not good enough. And we'll always be condemned. And sometimes you don't even want to come to the house of the Lord because we're afraid that the Lord of the house will condemn us, will kick us out. But no. No, he is the high priest that is coming to say, I'm here to be the propitiation. You know what the propitiation is? What is that word? Sometimes you don't even know how to say it. What does it mean? Intercessor, in a way. The actual word is what? Cover. Cover. The actual word is the cover of the Ark of the Covenant, where the mercy, where the word of the Lord comes to the people, and he speaks to the people. He becomes that cover. That the Father don't see our own weaknesses, but sees the Son. See the cover. That's why we come and participate, because we're covered by his blood. Not only in words, but in life. In life. Let's take this opportunity today to really, as you pray the liturgy now, to really think about this. To really pray about that. Do we really believe that we are one with him? Do we really know that when we come, he wants to come and say, "I'm not here to condemn you, I'm here to restore you." Do we really want to stop looking for a power and for a figure and for a project and get content with him or not? We're just talking about this yesterday in the 2 Peter 2, the last verse, right? We're talking about the dog that goes back to his own vomit, right? And as disgusting that image is, but that is actually our life. We keep looking for power, for project, for somebody to follow, and that makes us really sick to the point that we vomit and we reject it. But then we go back empty and we're still hungry and we come back again to the same thing over and over again. And we wonder, why is God doing this to me? Why is he leaving me? My dear, I'm not leaving you. I'm humbly asking you to accept me because I don't seek authority. I don't seek just followers. And I'm here to fill you with myself. May the Lord even give us that understanding. And may we have the courage and the boldness to face ourselves and say, enough seeking for power. Enough trying to find a figure to follow. And enough going after projects that will never end. And see with our own eyes the high priest that is on the cross, saying, here I am. I'm giving you resurrection forever. Last thing in the Pauline epistle today, beautiful, beautiful verse. Beautiful verse in Hebrews again. 7:17. Look at this. 7:16. Hebrews 7:16. Who has come, the Lord, the high priest, who has come, not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. He's not coming, one of the fathers says, the Lord didn't come to force commandment, but he came to give life. Again, it says, who has come, not according to the law of a fleshly commandment. The fleshly commandment is not going to do anything. Right? We can struggle all our life to follow the commandments. We're not going to be able to. But he came according to the power of an endless life. And that endless life power is here on the table. May God give us that understanding and the life to live with that endless life forever with him. As our high priest, to him the glory, now and forever, to the ages of all ages. Amen.